Hello, everyone, again. Sorry about that. I'm Rita Hawk Lane, and I thank you for listening, and I also thank you for your support of our station, our programs. Your prayer support is invaluable, and of course, your financial support. We thank you with all our hearts, because without you, we wouldn't be here and wouldn't be able to do this. I pray that the Lord will bless our time together today, and what I'd like to do is all of us pray the Our Father together, or the Lord's Prayer, if that's what you call it, because we're going to talk a little bit about it. So anyway, let's pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For thine is the power and the glory. Forget it. I'm nervous. Forget it. The kingdom, power, and glory. Thank you. Anyway, I don't know if you've noticed lately, to my Catholic brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven has been coming up in the gospel readings, the daily gospel readings for Mass, and a lot lately. And, you know, it's kind of funny because the Lord gives me words or phrases or things that pique my interest, and I've always followed through with that on checking it out a little more deeper and then sharing that with people, what I find. So anyway, I kept hearing kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven over and over again, and I said, we hear it all the time, but do we really know what that means? You know, it's interesting. Jesus, he spoke about the kingdom of God incessantly. And in fact, until I looked at this, I didn't realize just how much he did. Even though I remember, you know, he was always saying, well, the kingdom of God is like this, or, you know, the persons who will be in the kingdom are these people, the people that will be excluded from the kingdom are these people. He spoke of the kingdom of God all the time. And so, and it's so important to our faith. We really need to know what it means, you know. So, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to spend, you know, an hour lecturing you on the kingdom of God, and plus, it's such a deep subject, it would take, you know, a whole course to do that. So I have some highlights I want to share with you. First of all, it's like, so what is a kingdom? You know, we see, you know, the royalty in England and various places around the world. But what really is a kingdom? It's a country, a place, but it's primarily a people's. That's ruled by or under control by a king or queen, all right? The monarchy, all right? I want to share with you last Sunday's gospel reading. It begins with Mark 1, okay? And it says, after John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel. This is what he said. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel means the good news. And the good news is about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and how we should live. So, anyway, he mentions the kingdom of God is at hand. He says this is the time of fulfillment. Well, this kingdom of God is one of the most prevalent themes throughout the entire Bible, Old Testament and New. And it's interesting when you look back on it, because The Jewish people in the Old Testament times always thought of God as their King of Kings, their King above all kings, I should say. He was Lord over all the earth, and he was primarily their king. Later on, they got influenced by worldly monarchies and thought that they needed to have their own king, worldly king, human king. And so they requested a king. They requested God to anoint a king, and God warned them, you don't really want a human king. You have me. But they insisted, and they kept doing it. He even warned them what life would be like under a kingship versus under him. A lot less freedom. Kingships always, as you well know, politicians as well, it can lead to power struggles and money issues and slaves and all kinds of things like that. So he warned them, but they wanted a king. So they got an earthly king, King Saul. That was their first king. And, you know, the history goes on. But basically, even from the very beginning in Genesis, there were prophecies that there would be one day a future kingdom ruled by the anointed Messiah who would save his people. Okay? And it was referred to as a kingdom. And many of the early references about this kingdom in the Bible say that it would be a spiritual kingdom. But over time, the Jewish people were so desperate to be delivered from all of these horrible, circumstances they were in because of outside rulers and Egypt and all these sort of things, that they began to hope for an earthly kingdom with armies, you know, a king, armies, et cetera, that would save them from their enemies, bring peace and safety and community, and they would live happily ever after. You know, we all want that. So you can't blame them for wanting that. And so they prayed for generations for this Messiah to come. But it's very interesting, you know, because when Jesus came, it says many times in Scripture that when the time was right, Jesus was sent. So we can't fully understand what all that means because, you know, in some ways, you know, why not come earlier or why not come later? You know, but it says when the time was right. So we know that God knows what he's doing. So that's what happened. But so the Jewish people waited and prayed for the Messiah to come and this kingdom to come. And in the New Testament, the scriptures tell us constantly that the true kingdom arrived, this future kingdom finally arrived with Jesus Christ. And he spoke of it all the time. He referred to the prophecies a few times about what would happen with the Messiah, and he would say, you know, in these scriptures, they are fulfilled in me. So he was, you know, it's very interesting. Some people say, oh, well, Jesus never said he was God. He never said he was the Messiah. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. And, okay. Since Jesus spoke about the kingdom so much, we really need to look into it so that we more fully understand his mission and his teachings. Because he never said anything that wasn't very, very important. Okay, so I'm going to, there's so many verses in the scriptures, but I want to share a few with you. From Matthew 6, it says, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he says it right there in the prayer he taught us. So we're to pray for this kingdom to be flourishing and alive and vibrant and in every part of the world that perhaps it's not yet. Then in Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's a little unsettling to me because there, you know, if we claim to be Christian, we need to be living the Christian life, primarily in union with Him and have a relationship with Him. But we're not supposed to be like everybody else in the world. We're supposed to be in the world, love the people in the world, serve the people in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. In other words, we're not supposed to embrace all of the different things that change every day of value in the world. Jesus Christ, our faith, our church, our families, everything. That's our world. Anyway, okay, so please, you know, take your faith seriously and don't play with the evil one, please. Don't play games with the evil one. You know, don't take for granted that God is so merciful that you can do anything you want, anytime you want, and not consider what He has said about certain issues. Okay, He is merciful. He loves you more than anything. He wants the best life in the world for you. But He has laid down guidelines in His Word. And if you read those guidelines and you really ponder them, you can understand the wisdom of them. You may not agree with them, but there is great wisdom in his Word. So anyway, the next one is in Luke 12. And it states, but seek first, this is Jesus again, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom and all the riches in that kingdom. And Jesus taught about it in many of his parables. Many of his parables allude to the kingdom of God or describe the kingdom of God. If you haven't read them lately, you know, Google them on your computer or cell phone, you know, parables of Jesus, and read through them and see just how many of them refer to the kingdom of God and the lessons that are valuable there. Okay, in Matthew 16, he said to St. Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So he's saying to Simon Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What do keys do? They open doors. Sometimes they even open safes with valued treasures in it. He's giving this, he's telling Peter that I'm giving you the keys for people to get to lead people to heaven through the church. And it's really beautiful because the keys, there was a prophecy in Old Testament about the keys of the kingdom of heaven would be given to someone very important in the future. And here he is giving them to St. Peter. St. Paul wrote about the kingdom many times, many, many times. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians 2, He says, as you know, we treated each one of you as a father treats his children, exhorting and encouraging you and insisting that you conduct yourselves as worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So, conduct yourselves as worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. All right. This kingdom of God is so prevalent and so important that Pope John Paul II included the proclamation, Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of God, as the third mystery in the newest rosary mysteries, the luminous mysteries. It's the third mystery. And so it's included in our prayers for that very reason, because it is so very important. But, you know, okay, we got the facts. We understand that and everything, all right? But what does that mean to us? First of all, the kingdom of God has God as its center and head. Not man. All earthly rulers and leaders are under God, period. And so we have a tendency today, in fact, I was listening to the radio on the way over here, Catholic radio, and they were talking about how so many of these younger people have... Not, they believe in God, but they don't go to church, or very rarely go to church, and they don't really understand truly the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so they're following culture. And when something sounds good, feels good, that must be good, right? Well, sometimes it's not. If it's out of sync somehow with what's really, really good for you and for the world, we can be persuaded that things are good when they're not. And so that's when we have the scriptures and the logic. Folks, this is not just faith in something, you know, imaginary. The logic behind it is really beautiful if you take the time to study it. But basically, so many people today have more faith in politicians than they do in God. And that's not the way we Christians are supposed to be. God comes first. That's why Jesus said it's so important to seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to it. Everything else is secondary. God is our king. God is our president. God is our leader. All men and men and women, all politicians are under him. So we need to remember that, and so do they. The kingdom of God is both a spiritual kingdom and a physical kingdom. This kingdom is most present in the church, where we experience the spiritual teachings, the spiritual growth that is available in community. And it's also, we see the physical acts and evidence of the truth. You can talk to your blue in the face about faith. But if you don't see anybody living it, it's meaningless to them. If one of the things that breaks my heart is so many people don't go to church. I go to church because I became Catholic. I joined the church in 1999, and it has been literally the greatest joy of my life. And in that, I go to church because there I see people caring for each other. I see people, like today, we're talking about it's caring for friends, and there's so many different organizations in our church that take care of the poor, physically take care of them. They don't just throw money at them. You see people serving each other. You see people bringing each other to church, babysitting, you name it. You see so much evidence of the beauty of God in the church. If you don't set foot in a church, you never see it. You are susceptible to believing what other people say without seeing it firsthand. And it will mean very little to you if you hear that. But if you experience it firsthand, you understand why people will go to church. Yes, 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 there are some really flawed people in the church, including me, you know, but that's what church is for. It's not for perfection. People who are perfect, there are no perfect people. We're all in this together. We all need each other. And you go to church, you hear the word of God, and it sings to your heart. It's different when you're in community than when you're reading it alone. Reading it alone is wonderful. We all should do it. We should ponder it. We should really take it in. But when you are in a church community and you are hearing the word of God proclaimed and then discussed and pondered, it is like so enriching. It's so powerful. You can cut the power with a knife. It's not the same when you're alone. I know this for a fact, and the people in my parish know this for a fact. That's why we keep going back. Anyway, I'm sorry I got off on a tangent here. We know that God is love, and everything he does is out of love for us, everything. So his kingdom must be a gift of love for us. It's filled with extraordinary grace because he created it. He has given it to us, and he has loving oversight of it, and he's constantly present in it. So we should want with all our hearts to seek this kingdom, to find this kingdom, to live in this kingdom, because he's a personal as well as community God. There's two ways of being one with him. One, the first way is personally. The second way is within community in church. He created the church, not us. There's a lot of people who might think that, if people, the early Christians felt like being together, they would be together. Otherwise, they were home with their families and this sort of thing. No. They were always meeting together. They were community. They were like a city because they valued being together. They valued celebrating the sacraments together. They valued praying together. And sometimes it was for their survival. I don't know if you've ever watched the movie Paul the Apostle of Christ. It came out a few years ago, and some of us at my Bible study went to see it. At the end of the movie, I couldn't move. I had to sit there for like 10 minutes because I never knew that the term Roman candle refer to Nero burning Christians in the streets, setting them on fire and burning them in the streets to light the roadways and the walkways. Roman candles. And of course, then you had them, him throwing them to the lions for sport. And all these kind of horrible things, hiding in back, courtyards and stuff because their lives were at risk. But they would not renounce their faith. They stood strong. They died together. They endured things that you couldn't imagine because the grace of God was with them. He gave them the ability to do it. And the blood of martyrs grows the faith of others like nothing else. Nothing else. I'd like to think that, you know, I would have the grace given to me to be a martyr if it was ever asked of me. But to think about it now, it's like, holy smokes. I don't think I could do that. I think I'd be chicken, and I'd be saying, oh, hey, you know, God will forgive me if I say no, that I don't believe in him, that sort of thing. But that's not what we're called to do. In those kind of circumstances, we are to stand strong and do what he needs us to do at the time, even if it means giving our lives. So anyway, but this kingdom is full of love and treasures, and it's a tremendous gift. And that's why Jesus was always saying, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. So the kingdom, it basically is, on a basic level, is closeness to Jesus Christ on a very personal level and with others in the community. Okay, that's basically what it is. And we're going to break in a couple of minutes, and I just want to tell you that when we come back, come on back, because I'm going to share with you what Jesus says about how to get into the kingdom and who's going to be in the kingdom and who won't be in the kingdom. So anyway, we'll be back in a little bit, and we'll pray when we come back first, and then we'll get into that. God bless you. Don't go away.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many ways. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special, because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. And Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus the Word to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, we're back again. I'm Rita Halk-Lane, and I thank you for sticking with me and hanging out here. We're going to, this is an hour that's dedicated to not just what I need to share with you, but also for prayers, you know. So if you have need of prayer, don't hesitate to, you know, call in the station and request prayer. You know, I will pray for everybody, but basically, you know, some specific requests have come in, so I want to pray for that. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to pray at kind of a general prayer for healing, and then I'm going to say the specific prayers, requests, and then finish up with that. Okay? So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come and be in us and pray in us. There's people all over the world listening to this who can hear these, join in these prayers that I'm offering to you, O Lord our God, the great physician. Lord, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Come and heal us as you have promised. I ask for these people are in great need of physical healing, sometimes emotional healing, sometimes spiritual healing. And I pray for these specific requests and also for anyone who's suffering with the same medleys and need healing as well. I unite all of those needs to this prayer. And through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we give them the request to you, Lord, because we know you love everyone. We know that you are the great physician who can heal and love to heal and who is full of mercy and miracles. And so we place these people in your hands, O Lord, with our whole hearts. So we have here a request from Sue. She has ovarian cancer. The chemotherapy she has been having has not shrunk the tumors. They have metastasized to her liver. So she's praying to Saint Carlos Acutis at some time for a miracle. So we ask him to join our prayers, but also we ask the Lord to give her a miracle, and we will sing his praises, obviously. And for anyone else who has serious cancer problems, and I'm thinking of Dr. Joe Stellabotti, a friend's husband, and there's so many, it would take hours to name them all off, but pray for them to have healing and encouragement and joy and companionship as they fight these illnesses. Then we have Larry. He is in the hospital due to a tear in his esophagus. That has to be extremely painful, and we pray for that to heal quickly, because until it's healed, he has to be intubated with the tube into his stomach, and which is a great option for someone like him, but it's not easy. So we pray that it heals quickly and rapidly. And anyone else who has, you know, like a digestive issue, that it will be healed and renewed quickly. And I'm thinking of David Lane. He has liver and gastrointestinal problems, and he's having tests, and I pray for those tests to come back conclusive, but of nothing serious, that it will be something easy to heal. And want to also pray for Christine, a friend of mine. She has an incurable autoimmune disease, and it's kind of an undiagnosed thing. It's so rare, they don't even really know how to treat it. So I pray for the Lord's knowledge to be to fill the doctors, and so that there can be treatment. And and that she will do well. And Lord, I bring before you all of the listeners to the station and the show. I bring them to you, Lord. I pray that you will bless them abundantly, their themselves as individuals, their families, their work, their churches, their friends, everyone that they know. I pray that you will bless them and heal them too of mind, body, and soul, and help them, Lord, to have a truly abundant life in you. And I pray especially for those in most need of your mercy who have rejected you and don't realize what that means. And I place them in your sacred heart where you love them more than I could ever express. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I also want to make an announcement that I hope I may have time at the end. Kathleen McCarthy and Father Dermot Roche will be at Malvern Retreat House on February 23rd for the weekend of February 23rd. It'll be February 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It's a men and women's retreat, and it's the theme is called Rekindle the Fire. And then they have Psalm 66 as part of the announcement for it. And Psalm 66 says, "Blessed be God who filled my soul with fire. Shout joyfully to God all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise." So I want, go and check it out. You get to Malvern is one of the most beautiful places you could ever go for a retreat. You have plenty of quiet time for yourself. You have plenty of things to do and to see and explore. And the programs are magnificent. Kathleen and Father Roche, they are just a powerful team and can really help us to connect with the Lord in a special way. It's a gift that they have. And so please check out malvernretreat.com, malvernretreat.com, or call them at 610-644-0400, 610-644-0400, and ask questions, get the information. It costs money, but you get all your meals, you get the program, and you it's worth every penny that they ask for. And it's worth being there because you're surrounded by people that love the Lord like you do, and or even people that are just seeking more information and don't know what they want. It's a wonderful thing. So check that out in February, February 23rd through 25th. Okay? All right, back to the kingdom of God. What does Jesus say about how to get into, how to stay in his kingdom? Okay, how do you get into the kingdom? How do you stay in this kingdom, in this loving place? All right? The first thing, almost first thing he says in Scripture when he starts his ministry, is repent and believe. It's very interesting. He doesn't say love your neighbor. He says repent and believe. What is repentance? You know, it's kind of funny. Some of us, you hear that word all the time, but what does it really mean? What does he mean when he says repent? And I'm going to read a little something to you. To repent is to change your mind. Turn away from all deliberate sins while choosing to follow the Lord's better way. This better way includes forgiveness, mercy, justice, love of the poor, a difficult thing, love of our enemies, love of God and neighbor, community within church, and celebration of what is good, true, and beautiful. We walk away from deliberate sin. It's impossible to never sin. And the Lord understands that. He knows who we are. So he understands that, you know, we fall into sin sometimes, but what we do with it is what he's concerned about. Because he wants our heart, he wants us to understand that sin not only separates us or puts division between us and God to a degree and us and other people, but it destroys us, you know, inside in our hearts. Deliberate sin. When we know we're doing something that we shouldn't be doing and we continue in it and never try to get out of it, that is what we need to really, really work on, and with the grace of God. So, you know, when we repent, that means turn away from that. Even if you fall back in it tomorrow, turn away from it. Ask the Lord to help us to stay away from those sins and work towards the good things that we know we should be doing. Anyway, you know, sin is another word. How many people say the word sin or think about the word sin but don't really understand what it is? Well, obviously, some of it is rules, and some of it is things that God has said, hey, you know, don't do this, you know, there's a better way, follow this way instead. But basically what sin is a failure to truly love God and our neighbor properly. That's basically what it is. You know, if we reject him or don't respect him, if we use a neighbor or another person for our own personal gain or appetites, you know, those are things that are sins, because they are a lack of love for God and our neighbor, or a disordered love for God and our neighbor. So he says, repent and believe. Well, we know what belief means. So, and then he says, the kingdom, you must be born of water and spirit. Jesus said that. So if we aren't baptized already, we need to get baptized if we want to be in the kingdom. Because in baptism, our sins are washed away. You know, it's like we get a fresh garment of life. Our sins are washed away, and we are given a special dose of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to renew us in ways that are just beautiful and wonderful. He doesn't take our personality away. He doesn't take our gifts away of who we are. He enhances and grows us into more of who we are. And anyway, we are to be, Jesus says, born of water and the Spirit. And then he says that we must do the will of his Father in heaven. How do we know? How do we know God's will for us? Well, first and foremost, reading and meditating on God's word reveals him to us. We get to know him in it. We get to know what he taught as to how we should live and the things that we shouldn't do and why. And it's full of wisdom. There's so many things in it for all of our different situations in life. And also check out the Catechism of the Catholic Church, because it helps us apply those things to our everyday life and why we believe what we believe. It's not enough to just believe it. You really need to know why, because you can't embrace it without knowing why. So check out the Catechism. Then we must be open and flexible to what he may be leading us to. He won't, you know, he's there. He wants you to know what he needs you to do and what you need to do to be the person that you, that has an abundant life, a life filled with purpose, a life filled with joy and peace of mind in any circumstance. He wants that for you. So ask him what his will is for you. Don't demand your own way. Be flexible. Spend focused time in prayer. Okay? He says, spend focused time in prayer. Ask him what his will is and listen to him. We talked about prayer last time I was on. I spent 6 years before the Lord revealed, praying before the Lord revealed to me that he wanted me to do this. 6 years. It was such a mystery to me. I knew he was calling me to something different. But I had no idea it was something like this. But 6 years it took for him. There were little baby steps in those 6 years. I needed those 6 years. But don't give him a timeline. Seek his face. Seek other people's advice. Find a mature, dedicated Christian or a priest or religious sister, someone you trust and you know that they're grounded in Jesus Christ. Talk to them about some decisions that you're making or what maybe direction you should go in. Consider your circumstances. Sometimes Sometimes the Lord shows your situations in a light that shows you he's leading you somewhere. It's funny because a lot of people think of those as coincidences, but in reality, they're God incidences, but you have to be looking for them. So consider those circumstances. And last but not least, don't worry. Trust him. St. Paul says in Philippians 2, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. It's God working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Okay? All right, when you're looking for God's will, don't worry, trust him. Then Jesus says, basically, turn and become like children. Children trust and follow. They have peace in all circumstances when their parents are with them because they know they'll be taken care of. He's not talking about being childish and having temper tantrums and things like that. He's talking about the innocence and beauty of a trusting child. We need to be like that. And he said to be righteous, which means innocent. So we need to confess our sins. We need to have a firm resolve to overcome those sins with the help of God. Then he says, those who persevere in faith. Perseverance is built throughout our lives, through circumstances, through the things we read, through the things we study, through our prayer lives. We become able to persevere in anything if we prepare. It's very hard to persevere when you haven't been praying, when you haven't been studying. You feel like reading God's word, you know, and going to church and things, you feel like you're all alone. That how could this happen out of the blue? And I don't know what to do. I'm lost. But if you have been praying, if you have been reading God's word, if you have been studying the saints or some, you know, really good books that help grow your faith, if you've been partaking of the sacraments in particular, you are going to be a powerhouse. You are going to be able to live through and get through anything because he said he would be there for you, and he will be. But if you don't know him very well, you feel very vulnerable. And so get to know him through your prayer life and through the church and through the Word of God. Okay, poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. He means that being humble before God, recognizing that, you know, we're not perfect and we aren't God, and we sin. And there's, you know, we hurt people, and we don't always pray like we should, you know. So being humble before the Lord, recognizing that we are sinners, and trusting more in God than in worldly things, okay, especially riches. And he also mentions it's difficult for wealthy people to get into heaven, because a lot of times wealthy people put all their trust in their money and in their goods and forget about him. He's like a side thought. When in reality, there's nothing wrong with wealth as long as it's shared and as long as we trust in him more than in those goods. All right. I can tell you from my own experience as a child that you can be very, very rich, have, you know, a lot of money, a lot of goods, can do anything you want, nice cars and everything, and overnight, it can all be gone. Then where are your roots? What? How do you recover from that? You know, emotionally. It is a very, very hard thing to live with. So if we have wealth and we share it, and we don't get too attached to it, knowing that tomorrow, especially in this day and age, we might not have it, then we cling to the Lord, and he helps us to recover from those things. So, and we should be finally rooted in love and nourished by grace. So, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They were mocking him at his crucifixion, but they they put that sign over him: here is Jesus, King of the Jews, in a mocking way, but it was a very, very true sign. They were proclaiming that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, and they didn't even know it. See, he is the name above all names. He is the head over every person and nation. In fact, every leader in the world will answer to him someday, whether they like it or not. That should make their knees knock if they're not, you know, doing good things in their leadership. So, when the members of the kingdom live rightly, and it's the kingdom is filled with many, many good things. And so why desire the kingdom? Why even care, right? First and foremost, the kingdom and the church is an encounter with a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's not just rules and rituals and expectations. It is a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, one-on-one, and also in community. So in this community, we have, in the Catholic Church anyway, we have the treasures, and I call them treasures because they are. If you didn't grow up with them, you realize what a treasure it is. The sacraments that are filled with the power of God, and they are the Holy Eucharist, baptism, confirmation, confession, or the sacrament of reconciliation, anointing of the sick, matrimony, and holy orders. These are treasures filled with the power of God. And if you don't know that, please trust the Lord and go and try them, because you will be amazed. In this kingdom, our sins are forgiven and we can have peace with God. We are constantly being made more like him. And when we become more like him, we start to see the world through his eyes. We're able to see clearly, more clearly, not perfectly, but more clearly, what's not good and what is good, what are lies and what are truths. It's like a darkness is lifted from our eyes. It's amazing how you see things. You start to see people differently. You start to see them the way that God sees them. All of their potential, all of the beauty that's already in them, even the most challenging people, even the most aggravating people, you start to see the beauty in each one and their potential. You start to believe in them the way that God believes in them and wants only the best, the good for them. In the kingdom, you experience God's healing power and his protection from the evil one. And if we persevere, we will have life forever with him and the other people that we love in heaven. If we persevere, keep hanging in there, do this. And then the Holy Spirit fills and empowers us to live life more abundantly and joyfully. Who doesn't want that? To have the joy of the Lord, to have peace of mind, a clear conscience, all of those wonderful things. All of our relationships are enriched by being a part of the kingdom, and we are never alone. Next time we're here, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about something that's really been laying heavily on my mind. But I want to share a real quick story with you. There's an article confession. A sacramental confession frees the sinner from the hands of the devil and immerses it in the love of God. At every confession, the fullness of the graces of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary is poured out on each individual soul. It's as if Christ died for you and you alone. And today I went to confession, and the most amazing, miraculous thing happened to me. My dearest confessor, Monsignor Jagodzinski, I talked to him about something that was really laying heavily on my mind, and he gave me a confirmation of something another priest gave me last summer without even knowing about it. And I just cried my eyeballs out because I knew that that was the Lord speaking to me through him. You can have that. I suggest that you find a confessor, and a regular confessor, and go to him and talk to him, and you will be blessed innumerably. Anyway, we're up against the clock. Thank you for listening. God bless you richly. Don't forget the retreat on February 23rd through 25th with Kathleen and Father Roche at malvernretreat.com. And may the Lord be with you, bless you abundantly, and you pray for me, I'll pray for you, and Lord have mercy on all of us.